Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have to confess to a bit of trepidation about sharing a meditation or reflection with you this evening, not because I am not moved by what we've seen occurring in Ukraine, but the ability to find words appropriate to the occasion is hard and it's difficult. So I'd like to just start off by sharing some statistics with you. According to the United Nations, there are now more than 3.3 million refugees from Ukraine who have gone to other countries. And that includes 2 million in Poland, 520,000 in Romania, 306,000 in Hungary, 246,000 in Slovakia. People have fled from the violence and the destruction in Kyiv and Lviv and Kharkiv and Mariupol and Odessa and Mykolaiv and Kherson. And some of these places are occupied by the Russians, and others have been able to withstand foreign invaders, and the city of Mykolaiv this morning took part in have been able to push back the Russians and gain a measure of freedom. But still, there are approximately 10 million people in Ukraine who are now displaced people. They're still in the country, but they cannot live in their homes. And I think that this is something that we should all think about and pray on. We are all fortunate, I believe, that we have homes that we can go back to tonight. We don't need to worry about an invader shelling our neighborhoods, launching missile attacks, and committing acts of barbarism. But these are our neighbors. These are our brothers and sisters. And just as we care about the people who live with us here in the Upper Valley, we should also care about the people who live on the far side of the world. Now, I don't know what connection each and every one of you has to Ukraine. Some of you may have no connection other than you just don't like big countries invading smaller countries. Some of you may be from Ukraine. Some of you may have family ties to the country. But everybody here cares about Ukraine and what is happening there. And my hope is that we just won't be moved to think about this tonight, but we will think about the horrors that are unfolding there in the days and weeks ahead, and we will pray and we will work to try to bring about a positive change in the situation. Now, some of you may wonder, well, what can I do? Yes, you could fly to Europe tomorrow and then make your way to Ukraine and join their foreign legion. I suspect no one here is going to do that. But there are other ways that people can be helpful. One is to continue to read the news, scan stories on the internet. The other is to give financial support. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later on when we take our offering. But there are people and organizations that have mobilized to provide support on the ground to the refugees who are leaving Ukraine, who are trying to start a life in a new country. And frankly, this is a time for us to give thanks to the people in Poland in particular who have been overwhelmed with refugees, and they have been welcomed into their country, and they have not been treated as strangers. We can think about some of the horrors that have taken place during the 4 weeks of war. We can think about the potential danger of the occupation of Chernobyl and the Zaporizhzhia station in the city of Enerhodar. That's the largest nuclear power station in Europe. And there's the danger of a nuclear accident occurring, but there's also the very real potential loss of power to people in those communities. And yes, the seasons are changing and it's getting warmer, but people still need their electricity. And we take that for granted. And our neighbors in Ukraine can't. Now, I can offer a long disquisition on the political situation there, and why the Russians have invaded Ukraine, and frankly, it would be filled with my opinions as much as any grounded political analysis. Frankly, I have no truck for the arguments that the Russian government is making. The people of Ukraine want to live in their own country, and that is something they should be able to do. The freedom we all enjoy is freedom that we ultimately believe comes from God. The people of Ukraine should be able to enjoy that as much as we do. They are claimed by the Orthodox Church in Russia that they are the parent of all of the Orthodox people in Ukraine. The Ukrainians don't see it that way. And of course, not everyone in Ukraine is Orthodox. There's a Catholic Church, which is much more prevalent in the western part of the country than the Orthodox Church. There are also Jews in Ukraine. And the Jews in Ukraine have had a troubled history, and it reached its nadir during the 20th century, the Holocaust and the Holodomor. But Ukraine now has a Jewish president. And I find that very inspiring, because there is a good example of how people are able to look beyond their own communities to see who their neighbor is and to forge something larger and better than just their own. So I suspect many of you watched President Zelensky on TV last week as he addressed Congress, and it would be wonderful if people in the United States could always get together and applaud political leaders who are trying to do the right thing. Our prayers are with him in the days and weeks ahead as he leads his country. But we also think about the soldiers in the field, the soldiers of the Ukrainian army, the civilians who've taken up arms. And yes, I'm going to pray for the Russian soldiers, because they too are in a difficult situation. As conscripts were drawn into Vladimir Putin's war, they were sold basically a bill of goods at the beginning of this conflict, and they have not been welcomed with open arms. There is no interest or excitement about Russian soldiers coming into another country. The New York Times reported today that up to 10% of the Russian forces that were assembled at the beginning of the conflict have now been taken out of action because of injuries or supply problems. So that's about 15,000 soldiers who cannot fight, some of whom will die and will not be going home to see their families. We pray for their families just as we pray for the families in Ukraine, because all of these families are God's children. Some of you may spend time on the internet, and I probably spend too much time there. But there's some good stuff that one can occasionally come across. And perhaps you've seen the video of a girl, 7 years old, by the name of Amelia Anisovich. And she first sang the song Let It Go from Frozen. And the video of that went viral. And millions of people have seen it. And she got a shout out from Idina Menzel, who actually sang that song in the Disney movie. And that called her to other people's attention. There was recently a concert that was held in Lodz, Poland, to raise money for Ukrainian refugees. And the stadium was full. And this young woman, this girl, came up and sang the Ukrainian national anthem, which we'll hear in the postlude of our service. I would encourage you to go find a video of that. It's very inspiring to watch and to hear. We will not be singing the national anthem, but we will hear the music. And I hope that you receive inspiration and you are reminded that God wants us to live in freedom and peace. The readings I shared with you earlier this evening from Deuteronomy and from the Book of Lamentations speak to a community that was trying to make sense of the world gone wrong. The children of Israel had to make sense of the world in the wake of the Babylonian exile. And here was a great power that had invaded Israel and Judah, and had destroyed the temple. And people asked the question, where is our God? And there were different answers that people could come up with for that question. One was, our God doesn't exist, or our God is not powerful. The other was, our God is not just our God, but our God is the God of the world. And they believe that. And that belief in God's sovereignty and power sustained the Jewish people and sustained them during the Lamentations, which were shared. And a lament is something that we can share because we have a heaviness of heart and we are sad and worried about what happened. But if we think about the people of Ukraine, and we think about some of the horrors that they have experienced just in the last 100 years with the civil war that took place in Russia in the early 20th century, Ukraine was able to actually secure its independence. And that lasted for all 3 years. And then the communists came in and Ukraine lost its independence. Stalin introduced the famine, which is known as the Holodomor, in which millions of people died. And then the Germans came in and invaded. And that was a horrific event for Ukraine. Ukraine regained its independence after the fall of the Soviet Union, and it's been trying to figure out its way forward. And they've had to deal with corrupt politicians, finding out a way to make their community work. But they've been trying and working hard. And I think that our hearts should go out to them because they are continuing to try to find a way forward. And any sense of atomization that exists in Ukraine seems to have been set aside. And this invasion has helped bring a heightened sense of solidarity. One of the amazing things is the way we in the West have responded to this. And my hope is that we'll continue to stand with the Ukrainians, to remember that they are our brothers and sisters, that they are God's children. So I invite you to join me in prayer. And this prayer was shared with me by Father Andrew Trudogov, who is the minister at the Holy Resurrection Orthodox Church in Claremont. Lord our God, great and almighty, we, your sinful children, turn to you with humility in our hearts and bow our heads low before you. We beseech your loving kindness and abundant blessings upon the nation, the people of Ukraine, during these days of great danger to their safety and well-being. Our brothers and sisters, Lord, are once again threatened by aggressions who see them only as simple obstacles blocking the path to the complete domination of the precious land and resources of the country of Ukraine. Strengthen the people as they face this great danger, turning to you in the immeasurably deep faith, trust, and love they have placed in you all their lives. Send your heavenly legions, O Lord, commanded by the patron of Kyiv, Archangel Michael, to crush the desires of the aggressor whose desire is to eradicate your people. Grant unity of mind, heart, and soul, O Lord, to all leaders in public service with those they serve. Unite them all into one great Christian family, so that together as brothers and sisters, they may glorify your majestic name. God in the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever and to the ages of ages. Amen. Now I invite you to join me in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil.